Hello to everyone who's listening to this. My name is Monique and I live in the Netherlands. This is the first time actually I'm going to do something for Blind Cool Tech, and I'm quite new to podcasting anyway. Not to sound editing, however, I've practiced a little bit with that. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the training of my doggie Cindy, but before I will do that, I'll first of course tell a little bit more about myself. I hope you will enjoy listening to this and have a nice day. Start by telling you that I didn't create that intro myself. It was created by a friend of mine whose name is Marielle. Her artist name is Yepsy Star. She has her own website as well. She offered to create me a tune for my podcasts. She will probably do that somewhere in the near future, but she is busy with many interesting things, so it might take a bit longer. And so for now, I'm just using this song that she called, or that we actually called, Happiness. Well, it sounds to me happy enough, so I thought it might be fine for now. Well, where do I start? My name is Monique. I am 32 years old. In November, I'll be 33, so not so far away anymore, only a few weeks. I live in the Netherlands, as I already told you in my intro. I've had a computer, a Windows XP computer, since 2005, actually. And in 2006, I started practicing with some sound editing skills. Actually, I use a real old version of Cool Edit, but it works for me. And actually, the sound recorder in Windows, I still sometimes use that also. And, well, it's maybe very old or simple, or for the real techie persons, they might think, oh no, but the only thing that is important to me is that it sounds okay and that it's fun working on these things. I've lived independently for 9 years. Actually, I'm blind. Well, maybe that's the first thing I should have started with. I've lived independently in a town called Deventer here in the Netherlands for 9 years. And those were very good years of my life, actually. But then I had to move out of there because they were going to break down these apartment buildings. They were really old, and build new ones. I temporarily moved back with my parents. Well, temporarily is going on almost 2 years now. And I'm desperately hoping for a new apartment. So at this moment, I'm sitting in my own room upstairs with my parents, in my parents' place. And I'm doing this podcast for you. It's after midnight, actually. I'm a late night person. I guess that's also because I enjoy talking to my friends from the United States. I have several. And my other hobbies include emailing, writing stories, doing my Yahoo groups. I have quite a few Yahoo groups. My sound editing, I use it a lot for stories or creative imagination stuff. I enjoy visiting my friends, organizing small parties with them, like birthday parties. I enjoy cooking. Actually, I'm always busy, and lately I've been enjoying very much to work on my own new website, which is www.moniquesworld.nl. moniquesworld.nl. You can find several of my other podcasts there, as well as a history about myself and about my doggie, and pictures for those who can still see them, and quite a lot of things. Also, a lot of links. I will probably put the Blind Cool Tech link there as well. I did my website both in Dutch and in English, so everyone should At least everyone who listens here should be able to enjoy the English part, I think. Okay, enough about me. The reason I did this podcast, this is my first for Blind Cool Tech. I learned about this from a friend of mine. And I asked myself for a while, what am I going to do in this first episode? And I decided this first podcast that I do should be about my doggy. My doggy is called Cindy, and to take away all the illusions or the misunderstandings, my doggy is not a guide dog. She's just a dog that I enjoy having. And she's a Shih Tzu. She's now 1 year and 5 months old. Tomorrow she's going to have her hair cut because her hair grew a bit long. Shih Tzus are tiny doggies, and they grow really long hair if you let them. And I've had her with me since she was a puppy of 8 weeks old. 7 and a half, actually. And I have done most of her training myself at the home of my two best friends, Alice and Phil. Because at that time, my parents, even though already lived here, they had a dog of their own, a German Shepherd, that would not go very well with other dogs. He didn't like other dogs. So I had to stay away from here as long as he was there. And I wanted the doggy very badly. And my friend Marielle, who also composed and played the music intro that you just heard, she has several Shih Tzus. And one time she had a nest of puppies. And when I heard about that, of course, I went to visit them. And oh, they were so cute. And I always wanted a puppy, a Shih Tzu puppy. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm not going to wait any longer. This is my chance. This is where I take a Shih Tzu puppy and name it Cindy. So the first time I got to see my doggy Cindy, my new friend, was when she was 4 and a half weeks old. I visited my friend at her home. And she had two puppies. And the mother of Cindy is called Beauty, and the father is called Jack. And I was going to make a choice between one of these two puppies. And that was a very hard choice, actually. Because they were both so cute and so sweet and so playful. And the one that first my eye was caught by one that in the end was named Treasure. Because she was so playful compared to Cindy. But my friend Marielle also warned me. She said, for 4 and a half weeks old, them to be so playful as this one is now, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble keeping her in check, training her. And this is your first dog. I would be a bit more cautious and take the one who is a little bit more quietly, but who will also enjoy to sit on your lap and to be with you and be your friend a bit more, and will be a tiny little bit easier for you to train. I had her on my lap, and it was really a few hard hours. But then in the end, I made up my mind. And yes, I am not sorry. I'm very happy that I took that choice. The doggy that is with me in this room right now is the one that I chose then went to be Cindy. And the other one was chosen by another friend of Marielle. And this friend called her doggy Treasure. So Treasure is the name of Cindy's sister. The second time I got to see Cindy was when she was 6 weeks old. When I visited my friend again to just see how Cindy was doing. And Marielle impressed me really, because Cindy already was quite much used to her name. And was she? I don't know if she recognized me, because she was much more moving around than the first time. She seemed either scared or just not in the mood to be with people or whatever, because she didn't seem all that happy that day. This day is also the day that we went to the vet, because they needed their first examination and medication and, you know, injections that these young puppies all need to get to stay well. So I went with my friend Marielle and the two doggies, Cindy and Treasure, to the vet. And of course, when I had to go home that day, I thought to myself, oh, I wish I could take Cindy with me. But she was still really young, so when she was almost 8 weeks old, that's when my friend Marielle came to visit me and my friends Alice and Phil in their home. to bring Cindy to me, and she had Treasure with her, and she had her other doggies, Muppy, Molly, Jesse, Beauty, and Jack, with her as well. She really loves doggies, believe me, they're all Shih Tzus. So that's when she brought Cindy to me, and she helped me the first 2 days in learning a few things that would be very helpful to train Cindy. She went with me to the pet shop to find some nice things for Cindy. I already bought a few toys. I already bought I bought a basket for her to lay in, but I didn't have a kennel yet. So, and I didn't have a leash yet, and of course with a dog that has such long hair, you need a good comb to be able to calm them, because otherwise their hair will just all wad up and end up being with so many nits in it, and well, that's actually what happened to Cindy now. I tried to keep it okay, but it's very difficult. That's one of the challenges I've had, to keep her hair look nice. Well, anyway, that's several things that I got with my friend Marielle. And the first evening, Cindy and Treasure and their mother Beauty slept in the kennel, in Cindy's new kennel. While my friends and I, we all slept outside in the garden because it was really nice sunny weather. And it was really great. The second night I suggested to my friend that we would let Beauty sleep with us outside with the other doggies. So Cindy and Treasure would slowly get used to not being with their mother anymore and being on their own. It was maybe mean, but I didn't want it to be such a big shock. Well, didn't do me much good, because in the middle of the night, Beauty was standing next to me. She came running to me. That's what woke me, actually. And she touched my face. She licked me in my face. We were sleeping on mattresses outside in the garden. So she licked my face, and just enough so she noticed I was awake. And then she ran off. And so I went to see what was going on. And she was sitting in front of the kennel. She was like, like, please let me in. And her puppies were like, So I opened the door to the kennel and I let Beauty in. And it's, she wanted to be with her two baby puppies. Well, anyway, the first days, Marielle also taught me how to walk with Cindy on the leash. Was not as easy to get Cindy to understand what a leash was there for. So she didn't want to walk with me at first, and she just was just exploring the area. But in the end, we got her to understand what she was supposed to do. The first real big challenge I had with Cindy already started when Marielle was still there. Cindy enjoyed most of all to hide herself in the tiniest little corners that she could possibly find. And her first hiding place, it took us an hour to find it actually, was outside in the garden with my friends Alice and Phil. It's not really much of a garden, it's quite small. We had a table, it was taken apart, and it wasn't standing the way it was supposed to stand, but we took the table and we put it against the wall. And there was just a tiny, tiny space behind it, where she had crawled between the table and some chairs, and actually there was no way for me to reach her there. And we couldn't see her there, and she had hidden herself there. Yeah, these tiny little puppies, they find the most ridiculous, strange places where they can possibly go in. So we were looking and calling her name, Cindy, Cindy, come here. Well, she wouldn't come. So that was a challenge. It took us a few times and quite a bit of time before we figured that one out. It was actually by chance that Marielle saw her crawling out of there again also. Yeah, that's Cindy actually. She has a little bell around her neck now. Because then we can at least hear where she is if she moves. Well, she had several other hiding places. That was something I had to discover on my own, because of course Marielle went home. One of her favorites was under the couch. Another was... my friends had a keyboard standing in their living room. Well, she was able to hide behind it or under it, whatever you would call that. So that were a few of the hiding places. She had quite a few. And every time that I really thought, now I know where her hiding place is and where I can find her if I don't know, if she doesn't make herself known to me. And every time I was really like, okay, now I know where she is, she would find herself a new place and just be able to sneak off again, and I would have trouble finding her. Of course, she was so tiny, it was impossible to hear her walk. So, of course, unless she was running and playing, but that was something else, of course. So, we bought this little bell that you maybe in the distance just heard, and I put that on her collar that's around her neck. So, when she moves, I can hear her. Well, that worked in the beginning really well, but after just one or two hours, she already understood, hey, that little bell around that is here that makes this little sound, and then my owner can just know where I am. So one of the first things she did was teach herself to walk really slowly and quietly, and then I still had trouble finding her. And of course, when she was in such a little corner, somewhere behind or under a couch or under a table or anywhere where she could just hide, she would be so quiet and anyway out of reach, so it was still sometimes horribly hard to find her. So that was a very difficult issue in the beginning if my dog was lost, to find her back again. Another very difficult thing was, of course, which every tiny little animal does in the beginning, when they haven't learned yet the rules of how to behave inside a house, was, of course, do her business inside the house everywhere. Well, my friend showed me a technique to try to stop her from doing that. It was, of course, a bit hard in the beginning, because if you have such a tiny little doggy with you, the most thing you want to do is just play with her and let her walk and let her explore. Since it's not always easy to find her business inside, and it's really nasty, as we can all imagine. What I used to do after getting up in the morning, immediately after waking, I would take her and put her in the garden, in the back garden, where it was anyway safe because there's no way to go out. So she would quickly do her business. Of course, the weather changed, so we couldn't sleep there anymore anyway. And what I also sometimes had to do, when she started waking me up at 4 o'clock in the night, I would have to just go out with her, put her in the garden, go to the tiny little room myself in between, and by the time that I was done, she would be done as well. So it was a lot of nights in the beginning where she woke me once or twice a night, for the first 1 or 2 months actually, and that was also sometimes very hard. But what I did was, after I in the daytime at least, because after in night she slept with me on my bed. She had a little corner where I put a little basket where she could lie down. I still do that, actually. And I put plastic on my bed on top of the cover, so if we should by accident have a boo-boo, then there would be no damage to my bed, actually. So I took some precautions. Of course, sometimes it had to go wrong. That always happens. And anyway, in the daytime, after walking with her or putting her in the garden, I would play with her, give her food, give her time to explore, and that would be, of course, a time where I really had to watch her and teach her things. That was also the time for training. And then after 1 hour, or maybe a little less, or maybe a little more, I put her back in her kennel, or on a leash so she would have some space to move around, but not the whole room. And that was, of course, the time for me where I could do something for myself without constantly having to watch whatever she was doing. Of course, it happens frequently that we found something of her in the home that wasn't supposed to be there. It's, of course, a very difficult thing to teach a dog not to do that. The thing is, a sighted person can actually see a dog do something wrong and correct it immediately, and that is one of the difficult things that I had to deal with, such as my dog just doing her business and I wouldn't find it for half an hour or an hour or longer, And then it's really hard to punish a dog. So it was a lot of my time in those first months. I was just busy with my dog, and I didn't get too much much else, actually. It's also very important if anyone who's blind ever wants to take this step, and I think the people who have already done something like this also know and can tell you that also. And it goes for everyone, but especially for people who are blind, you have to be very strict, and you have to follow rules, and you have to be consequent in following these rules. You cannot just say, oh, today it's not so bad, I will just be a bit easy on my dog, and I will not be so strict, and I will just pretend that I didn't see it this time. Because do that once, and your dog will know, oh, I can, if she's tired, or if she's busy, then I can just afford to do this, because she might not punish me as severely. So be very consequent and strict in your rules. That is very important. I would just take her if I found something, and pull her nose through it, which is, it sounds yucky, and that's exactly what your dog also would think. And that's what my dog Cindy also thought. Ugh, this is yucky. And that was intended to show her that she wasn't allowed to do that. Next thing I always did was put her outside, in the garden, in a place where she was allowed to do her business, as a sign to show her, like, okay, this is your area where you can do that, and not here inside. Of course, it was sometimes horrible to clean that stuff up, but we can all imagine. I don't have to share the details there. Another thing that I really had trouble with, which was a really big challenge, since Cindy is a Shih Tzu, I think many dogs will do this in one way or another way. But Shih Tzus are known to be, how should I put that? They just do what they want. They will not just do what you want. No, they'll do it all their own way. That can be fun, but that can also be very difficult, because you need to train them not to do that. I had my doggy at my place when Marielle was gone, just for 2 or 3 days, when she suddenly didn't like what I wanted her to do, or didn't like what I was doing, or whatever it was. And she started growling at me in a really mean way. I mean, if they play, they always make this sound. But that's playing. But she was really in a mean-spirited way, and trying to bite me. And that is, of course, never okay. And she was tiny, small, so, and I'm not so large myself, actually. The difficulty in doing that was I had to teach her who was the boss. And that's also something where you have to be absolutely strict in your rules. Actually, quite consequentially doing the same thing. Never allowing the dog to overrule you. Because a dog will understand that as, oh, my owner allows me to do this and play boss over herself. That means I'm the boss. Well, you can never let your dog do that. Although it's maybe very mean to take your dog and put her on her back and hold her legs down and keep her from biting you until she stops struggling against you and she lets go and gives herself over to you. That is a hard way. I can understand many people will think, oh, how can you do that to such a poor tiny dog? But really, believe me, it is not sad. In nature this also happens. And for these dogs, it's a sign. It's a sign, hey, I'm not the boss here. Someone else is in charge. And if you don't do that, you get dogs that just won't listen. They will just go their own way, no matter what you do or say. And especially Shih Tzus are a breed of dogs that really need this kind of guidance in their first months, or they will be very difficult to handle afterwards. Another thing that Cindy would enjoy doing was run away if I called her and she knew that she had done something wrong. She would run away from me And any time I got close, she would of course be much faster than I was. And that is also a challenge related to being blind, which sighted people will have much less trouble with. Also, when she was outside in the garden and I wanted her to come in, she wouldn't come. What I did then was just close the door on her and walk away for a few minutes and then try again. If she didn't want to come then, I would let her outside alone a bit longer until the moment came that she understood, oh, if I don't come in now voluntarily, I have to stay alone outside. I don't like that. And that helped, but it's good I had a kennel. I use it when I had to go somewhere and had to leave her at home alone. But then I would show her, okay, you're a sweet little doggy. I give you cookies. I give you some attentions. I patted her and I just said nice things to her. So she would know everything was okay, but she just had to stay at home alone or I had to go upstairs, do something or whatever. But I also had to use it for punishment measures. What I would do, she had a little basket in her kennel that I was able to take out. And I had her food and water to drink in there. If there was punishing time, I took that all out. And of course I said something like, you, how can you dog, how can you do that or whatever. Or, hey, what do you think, Cindy, you're doing here? In a real angry way, and she would understand that as, oh, I've done something really wrong. And I put her in their kennel for 30 minutes. And of course, people ask me, do you think that's wise? Well, I noticed with Cindy, that worked really well. She understood exactly whether it was because she had to stay at home alone, or whether we were cleaning, or doing something where she couldn't be in the way, or whether we were angry with her. Doggies are very, very clever, and they know exactly whether you're angry or whether you just have to do this. Of course, they don't like being shut up in their kennel. They never like that, but they know why that is. They are really clever enough to understand that. It took me 1 or 2 months to train her not to bite at me or growl at me or things like that. Thankfully, I had the help of some really good friends, and later also the help of my mother to help me learn new skills and new ways that I could use to train my dog, and they helped me also very much. I don't think I could have done it without the help of my friends. Of course, I was on my own really a lot, but the few moments that did, that people were around me who could give me some guidance or who also could correct the dog at the moment where something was going wrong. They were very few, but they were very helpful. And it's safe to say now that it was a hard time. It was a challenging time, but it was worth it all the way because I have a very sweet, caring, nice little doggy. When I wake in the morning, she sleeps on my bed still, in her little basket, at the feet of my bed. And sometimes she doesn't like that, she comes and lies down beside me. But every morning, when she notices I'm awake, she comes and just comes wagging her tail at me and comes just to say good morning. And that's really where my day starts off in a really nice way. And she's playful. She notices when I'm sad or when there's something wrong, and she'll come and try to cheer me up. She's really sweet, and of course, guide dogs can also be friends. And actually, every animal, whether it's a pet or a guide dog or whatever, they're all in the first place your friend. But I wanted just to do something different. I am the kind of person that doesn't always go with the flow. I do my thing. And to have a Shih Tzu and trainer myself was one of my greatest dreams that came true. And I'm very happy I took that step. Of course, this is only a short story. There's a lot more I could tell you possibly, but I'm not going to keep you all night or many hours or anything like that. I have my own website. I have a whole section on there about Cindy. I have a podcast where you can actually hear me play with her. I will let you hear a little bit of where I'm playing with her also here. And yeah, there are so many stories of nice things I did with Cindy, of difficult challenges I had with training, but it makes no sense to do it all. Still, I hope you enjoyed listening to my experiences. If you're blind and you think I've done this also, then you will understand several of the things I've been talking about. And if you're blind and you think, I don't want a guide dog this time, I want to do something similar, I hope this can be an inspiration for you. Okay, I'll close with a little bit of playing, where I'm playing with my doggy. And then it's the end for this time. Don't know what I'm going to do next or when I'm going to do it. That will be a surprise for myself even. But I hope you have enjoyed this, and I wish you a nice day. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. If you want to know more about me or my doggy, visit my website www.monikisworlds.nl or email me at info@monikisworlds.nl. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. Bye bye.